adults, if you listen to this bit, you're probably going to get more than you get from the next bit. So let's take it from there. So children, I need you to just look at the screen. I need the first person who can shout out what this film is when it comes on the screen. Oh, that was an adult that did it, not a child. Children, you're too slow. It's Inside Out. Anybody can name the characters that are in Inside Out? Tell me. Anger? Joy? Any other characters? I'll let the adults join in as well. Fear? Disgust? Sadness. So here's all our characters from Inside Out. You know, Inside Out, yes, it's a children's film, but it has some really deep teaching that we could take from it. You know, Joy is the one that's upside down. Joy is in the middle of all these other emotions. Joy is part of the emotion, but we've also got these other ones as well. Joy in life can be real even when it's mixed with the darker, the harder memories and experiences. Life can be hard, as, do you know what her name is? Riley? So Riley's the main character, and Riley finds out, these are meant to be living in our head, these are the emotions that control part of Riley's life. So life can be hard, but it doesn't have to be hopeless. Grief and sadness can be meaningful, even valuable experiences. We often say that when we've gone through them afterwards, rather than when we're going through them. And Inside Out, the saviour is Riley's imaginary friend. Does anybody know what the imaginary friend is called? You remember what the friend was called? Bing Bong. Bing Bong. Thank you, Joe. So Bing Bong is the one who helps Joy and Sadness get back to the HQ, which is Riley's brain. But brain science tells us that we develop best when we're in high joy environments. So when things are joyful, we can learn so much more then. Pixar and brain science say when joy is in charge of the other brain functions, of the other emotions, all is well. But you know, this is something that the Bible said. The Bible stated this long before Inside Out got the hold of it. But our source of lasting joy cannot be found in us, or our memories, or the people around us. Our ultimate joy, hope, and rescue is found in Jesus, the one who is unchanging in his love and commitment, the one who is not changed by things around us, and the one who understands the emotions of life. Joy, that feeling of happiness. In Hebrews 4 and 15, it says this: for Jesus is not some high priest who has no sympathy for our weaknesses and flaws. He has already been tested in every way that we are tested, but he emerged victorious without failing God. Jesus understands. He understands emotions. Before he was crucified, Jesus told his friends, his disciples, I've told you all these things so that my joy might be your joy and your joy might be wholly mature. Or in another version, that your joy might be complete. Before he goes to the cross, he talks to them. It's in a dark time. And he says, you can know joy even in the darkest of times. Jesus is our source. Hebrews 12 says we never stop looking to Jesus. He is the leader of our faith, and he is the one who makes our faith complete. If we're looking for real joy, not joy that is here one minute and gone the next, like the fine weather and the clouds. If we're looking for that real joy, we need to look to Jesus for it. And maybe joy can actually help us in this. I just thought maybe Jesus, only you. Finding our complete joy in him is where we will actually find that lasting joy. Us adults are going to go on and look at that a bit more. But as I say, actually, there's quite a lot in there already. Where is our joy? Let's turn to John 15 And it's verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, will you open your word to us? Will you make it relevant to all that we're experiencing at this time? And will you speak directly into our situations? And we ask this for Jesus' glory. Amen. So, you know what we're thinking about. We're thinking about joy. Joy, even in the most difficult of situations. This part, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, they've finished the Last Supper, and it's just before he's taken off to be his trial, to be tortured, to be whipped, to be abused, and then be crucified. And he's really desperate that they know they can still have joy. Life is not going to be easy for them, but they can have the joy that he has. He knows they're going to face very dark, difficult times. He's been telling them this for many, many weeks. He knows that some of them will be tempted to walk away from all that they have been learning and all that they have experienced. He starts chapter 15 reminding them to remain in him. And they'll bear much fruit if they do. He is the vine. He says, you're the branches. The branch can't remain without the core. And this is for us too. No matter what we face in life, Jesus reminds us to remain in him, and especially to remain in his love. The love that Jesus himself had remained in, he wants us to remain in. And that love, which is going to take him through the next few days, will ultimately bring him back from death. This love that took him all the way to the cross and brought him back to life. This love is what Jesus wants us to remain in. Not a love that's fickle and dependent on what's going around. Not a love that ebbs and flows like the waves. Not a love that can be here and gone, but a love that's steadfast, sure and dependable. Jesus only asks us and his disciples to do what he'd already done. He remained in close relationship with the Father and trusted the Father for whatever it was to come. He asks us to trust the Father too. And we've been thinking about that over the last few weeks, about trust the Father. For me, verse 11 is the key part. That my joy may be in you. That was the thing that drew me to it first, this chapter. Jesus' joy would be ours. John 17 and verse 13, Jesus is talking to the Father and he says, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. When Jesus is praying for the disciples, he prays, Father, give them what you've given me. He's asking the Father to give them that. And it's for us too, those of us who trust in Jesus, that we may know deep joy, even in the darkest of times. In John 16, Jesus continues to prepare them for all that's to come, and he reminds them that no one will take their joy away from them. His promise is that they will see him again. And just as Jesus endured the cross and the shame for the joy that was set before him, he says to us that there is an ultimate joy waiting for us that can help us to keep going, but not just a joy in the future. He also wants us to experience joy now through the receiving of the Spirit. So Jesus is telling his disciples all this at the end of this meal that they'd done many times before. But this was one of the differences that he brings in, because he knows that something's coming. They probably didn't understand. I'm not sure I would have, because it was a regular thing. Every year they would have this meal. Why would it be any different? But he knew what was coming. Jesus then goes on to say, love each other. Remain in me, receive my joy, but love each other. Again, he knew what was coming. He knew that in a couple of days, as he died on that cross, as he was put in that tomb, that they might struggle with each other. You know, the things that have happened before might come to the surface. Well, you let us down when that happened. And you weren't very good then. And you made all these promises, Peter, but you didn't keep to them. He knew that would start coming up. And he wanted them to understand they needed to love each other in the same way as the Father and him had loved each other. Jesus takes it further in verse 15 of John 15, and he says, you're no longer servants, you're friends. You've got inside knowledge. You have access to everything that Jesus had access to, as long as they remained in him. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I often have arguments with God, with Jesus, about that, and say, no, I don't, because I'm sinful. And yet Jesus says, no, no, no. Remain in me, and you have this access. You have this joy. You have this love. You have this power. You're not any different to me. Jesus had learned everything from the Father. And he says to his disciples, I've told you it all. I've told you what I know. I've not kept anything back from you. And in some ways, we know even more than the disciples knew, because we've got the days and the weeks and the years afterwards written down. We know so much. And the challenge is, what do we do with that? This part, when Jesus is finished, and he just reminds them again, love each other. Just love each other. That saying that love covers a multitude of sins. It's not always easy to love people. Or maybe that's just me. There are some people it's really easy to get alongside and to love. And then there's others that we have to make an effort, or we just avoid them. But Jesus says, don't do that. Learn to love in the way that I did. Think of the people that Jesus got alongside. There were tax collectors who were hated by the religious groups. There were prostitutes. There were thieves. There were people who wanted to rise up against the Roman government. There were people that just were outside of society for many reasons. Some of that might have been because of leprosy. Some of that might be another disability, the man with the shriveled hand, the person who couldn't see. He got alongside those people that most would go away from. And he says, that's the love that I'm calling you to. To know me is to show me, to show that love that I've given to you. Now, we're the only one who really knows about ourselves, but I don't know about you. I often think, if my story was in the Bible, like David's or Moses or Peter's, I wouldn't be very happy. Because I don't want people seeing really what I'm like. I want people to see the nice me. I want people to see the bit of me that I'm quite happy to put on display. I've said this before, probably a few years ago. I had this picture of, and we talk about our body being God's temple. But I had this picture of our body being like a house. And maybe not so much now, but a while ago, when people came round to the house, you always had the nice room that you would let them into. But you'd shut the doors on the other rooms. You didn't want people seeing your mess. You wanted people seeing your niceness. And Jesus says, don't do that with each other. Welcome each other, even into the difficult, messy areas. Really love each other. And that's something that takes time. It's not something that will happen overnight. And the reason we need to love each other is we need to be able to help each other through the difficulties. Yes, we have God's Spirit and we have all at our disposal in the Bible and all of that. But God also says, I put you with each other so that together we can learn so much more and get so much further. I think it was Mother Teresa that says, one can walk a certain distance, but two together can go much further. We can encourage each other, we can support each other, we can cheer each other on, we can challenge each other. But we can't do that if we don't love each other first. So Jesus knew that the disciples were facing the hardest time of their lives, really. They thought they knew what Jesus was coming for. They thought they'd got it all sussed. And he was just going to throw a spanner in the works. Because he was going to willingly give up his life. Jesus gave up his whole authority by becoming a baby. He was willing to leave heaven and leave that all behind. But now he's willing to give up his whole life and be punished, not because of what he had done, but because of what I had done, what we had done. And that is love. And it was quite interesting to see our newsletter that Pete had chosen that verse from John 15. Love is shown when we give up ourselves for another. Now, that doesn't mean that we give up our whole lives. Jesus was going to. And in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be thinking about remembrance and all of that. People who have given up physically their life. Or given up their prospects of a future. But sometimes it might just be we give up some of our own time. We know that someone is in need, and instead of doing something for me, I might think, I'm going to give them a call, or I'm going to give them a visit, and I'll see what I can do with them. Sometimes little things make all the difference. Peter's been talking to us about how small acts can have big impact. Jesus says, if you give a cup of cold water in his name, you're going to have an impact on someone. So let us not feel that we can't do anything because we can't do big things. Let us understand that a smile, a hello, a phone call, a letter, just coming alongside someone, can actually have a massive impact on that person's life. So over the last few weeks, we've been looking at trusting the Father, receiving the Spirit, and telling the story of the Son. And that sort of fits in here as well. Jesus says to them, remain in me, remain in the lifestyle that I've shown you, which is trusting the Father. He then tells them, I'm going away, but I'm sending a helper. So receive that helper. Because you can't do it on your own. Because you know what? I didn't do it on my own, Jesus said. If it hadn't been for the Father helping me and the Spirit comforting and giving me the strength, I couldn't do it on my own. Again, I don't know whether you ever think in that way about Jesus. I think I often think, well, Jesus is God, so it was easy for him. But the Bible makes it quite clear that Jesus was fully human. Fully human. He understands. That verse in Hebrews 12 says, we have a great high priest who understands. He went through hardships. He struggled in life. He had siblings, which is hard enough to deal with. He had family commitments. There was illness. There was joy at celebrations. And then there was grief and pain when life finished. He knew what it was like. But he managed not to go against any of what God had said. He managed not to sin, unlike me. But Jesus does understand. So he says, remain in that love. Trust the Father. Trust him fully, even when you don't see how things are going to work out. Trust the Father. Receive the Spirit so you have all that you need to be able to live this life in a way that is good for you and is honouring to God. And then tell the story of Jesus. Tell the story of what he has done in your life. Explain to people just why you have this joy in you. Even in the hardest of times. Every one of us can think of situations where it's not been good. And we've had to rely heavily on God and all that he has for us. Joy is not, woohoo, I'm all lovely and happy. Joy is being able to say, I don't know what's going on, but I trust that God does. There's a statement, a quote that goes around on Facebook quite a bit of, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And it's that statement of faith that says, I can't see the end of this working out very well, but I'm going to trust God. The disciples must have looked at Jesus being crucified and taken to the grave and thinking, well, this didn't come into my mind. I didn't think this was going to happen. Obviously, it's failed. And then when Mary comes and she knocks on the door, and she says, come on, come and see. Jesus is alive. And they're like, yeah. They couldn't believe that what he said was actually going to happen. And then he comes and he meets with them. And he offers them peace. At a time when there's turmoil, when they're struggling to make sense of anything, he comes and he says, peace be with you. Jesus wants to come and give us all of that. Jesus, the vine, we are the branches. Remain in him. His love was the love that he shared with the Father, and he now wants to share with us. And may our joy be complete. May we know that joy even in the midst of the darkest and most difficult times, as well as the most joyous and celebratory times. May we know his joy. So trust the Father. Receive the Spirit. Tell the story of the Son. Remain in him. Love each other. And may we find our joy to be complete. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your example. Thank you that you never ask us to do anything that you've not already done. Help us to take you at your word and to do what you have asked us to do. Help us to learn to trust the Father more and more each day. Help us to be willing to receive the Spirit so that we can get through the things of life that come at us. And help our joy to be complete, no matter what is going around us. Help us to be on solid ground, even when the rest is sinking sand. We ask this for your glory. Amen.